Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Monday, 30 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Mia Kruger, Quantum Foods. Food producers are really having a tough time. Also chatting with Pepkor CEO on their results inflation, double what they are used to. And then Nampak CEO Eric Smuts, results. A challenging 6 months, particularly thanks to input costs. I suggest that probably the big driver. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Eskom's three worst performing plants responsible for nearly half of all breakdowns. Surely shut them down, just close them. Business Day, something must be done, says the finance minister, ahead of news on fuel price relief. Proposal to alleviate rising fuel price expected following a meeting between Treasury and Department of Minerals and Energy over the weekend. Of course, that fuel price is due up on Wednesday, so clock is ticking. Morning markets on Friday, US was very green. S&P up 2.5%, NASDAQ up 3.3%. That's the first green week after 7 red weeks, and then the US is closed today for Memorial Day. Asia, green. Sydney up 1%, Tokyo up 2%. Commodities, green overnight. Gold, $1,862. Brent, $120.29 a barrel. Platinum, $945. Palladium, $2,079 an ounce. Rand, stronger, $15.59. Top 40 opening call, about 510 points to the green. That's about 0.8% as Tencent trades up 1.9% in Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger from Kruger International. Mia, appreciate the early morning as always. Quantum Foods results. We've seen a bunch of food producers last week coming with results, and they are, I mean, it's tough out there. It's proper tough. We get the point. Input costs really, really hurting. Are you seeing any value in this sector, or is it best to wait for some good times to start at least showing some light?
Oh, well, hi, Simon. I must say this is a very interesting one with Quantum Foods in the group. You know, we've seen this company for various reasons in the news over the last 2 years. The company is in a good state, better than it was when it was unbundled in 2013. But the fact remains, as you said, the long and the short of it is that food producers, especially poultry producers, are under significant pressure. Besides the fact that they're seeing, such a strong rise in input costs, we know they've got that part of the business that's a bit of a hedge, you know, they feed business, which really helps them when these prices rise. But they've also had another bout of bird flu, which has seen them have to cull many of the chickens that they have laying eggs for them. And that takes quite some time to work through the numbers. There's a big loss of over 22 million that they had to write down for culling some of their chickens. But the whole story around Quantum is quite interesting due to the fact that we've seen all these big corporate actions over the last year. There's not a lot of liquidity in the market for smaller shareholders, but despite all of this, they're still trading at a price that's close to half their net asset value. It's not a company with problems on their balance sheet. It's only really a company that's struggling due to the environment, the economic environment that it's in. And we don't really know where this corporate action will be leading. So for you or for anyone as a smaller investor here, it's quite uncertain what the future of this smaller company is and how that will play out for you as an investor. So there's a lot more to consider at Quantum Foods when you're investing than certainly only the current numbers.
Yeah, I take your point in that. It was back, I think it was at mid-2020 when there was all that talk stock rallied to over 10 rand, now back at 5.50 and very much stuck in a sense. We had Soho Gaming, Soho Hotels with results last week. Certainly we've seen some movement in the leisure stocks. Is this, I mean, we're seeing borders and stuff open up, but of course consumers under pressure so we can travel, but I'm not sure we can afford to. Is the leisure space worth having a look?
You know, this is a clear case of a company that's come out this year in a full recovery. They haven't really made a profit yet. They're still on a loss, but they've recovered most of their losses. They're not in survival mode any longer, which is quite important. So it looks like they're going to get through it. They've also decided to rebrand the hotel group again back to Southern Sun, which we all think is a good idea. It's a more well-known name, and it's sort of consumers feel more comfortable with it than with the Soho name. But the fact remains that the South African consumer is under significant pressure. We're seeing, hikes in fuel prices lately, hikes in food prices that we've just been discussing. And then the fact is that most people are really cutting back on their travel expenses at this stage just to afford normal living. And we're only in the start of a rates cycle hike. So there's a lot against the consumer in South Africa, and we haven't really seen the majority of foreign travelers return to South Africa. So I think that the investment case around hotels in South Africa will still remain a tough one for a while longer. We don't know how long. I don't think this is a sector that I would climb into, but happy to see that this company has turned the tide and has actually weathered the storm and nearly come out on the other side.
But I like your point. They're no longer in survival. Now it's a case of I suppose getting things back to normal. And I agree. I prefer the new branding. I think it's significantly better. Mia Kruger, Kruger International, as always, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Pepkor CEO Leon Lawrence. Results for 6 months ending March. Revenue up 3.3%. Normalized headline earnings up 12.1%. 144 new stores. Leon, appreciate the time today. I want to come to those new stores. But first, the KZN floods, which fall outside of the reporting period, but I imagine there must have been some impact for Pepkor.
No, surely there was impact for PEP. You know, one must just keep in mind that the DC that got flooded is only a PEP DC, and PEP has three DCs, you know, so it doesn't affect the whole group, but it does affect the PEP business. What has happened since? Obviously, that DC was out of operation for about 5 weeks at least, and it's still only back to limited operations. So obviously our service levels of some products in the stores have gone down, and that would affect the sales in the PEP business. But then, you know, we're also we're insured against business interruption as well. So the losses themselves can be covered by insurance, fortunately, but it does cause a lot of disruption in the business. What was great about the incident is how the DC recovered, and the commitment of the people and the can-do attitude of the people to get it back operating within 5 weeks, which was actually remarkable under the circumstances.
Now, I take your point on that. I want to touch on inflation, input costs. All the CEOs I chat to are struggling to varying degrees. How much are you able to, perhaps because of the slightly different industry you're in, sort of manage the inflationary pressures that we're seeing globally?
Are we going to have inflation in our products or on our products? For the past two to four seasons, you know, our sort of product inflation have always hovered around the 4 to 5%. We estimate it will probably go up to closer to 8-9% for next season, which is from August, and probably the season after that too. So that's quite high for our consumer. Initially, that probably would have been higher, but you know, through re-engineering of product, changing of the contribution of different departments and price points, we've been able to contain it to about an 8-9% increase. But that increase is high, I agree, especially for lower income earners. Yeah. But unfortunately, you know, that's the environment that causes that.
The PEP home, and we chatted about this when we chatted for your full year results, which would have been late last year. Sales growth up 27.2%. That brand within your stable continues to absolutely shine in what's a bunch of shining brands.
Yes, it's done exceptionally well. I mean, I think the last time we also discussed, you know, the sort of cult following that mm-hmm. PEP home has been able to get from consumers. That's not in their direct target market, a big online support and social media support that they have. So it's really done well. I think we can even do better if we get our stock holding right, because we've actually been selling too fast to you know, mm-hmm. there's much more opportunity in the home business than we're utilizing at the moment. So it's very exciting, and it's going up to, it's becoming a sizable business now. We're talking about over 330 stores now.
You made 330 there. I mentioned up front 144 new in the period. You mentioned in the results of the 3 year, you've opened 830 stores. That's solid growth. I mean, is that a sort of growth rate that you're anticipating to continue in the years ahead?
Yes, we're very confident of that. We work on an average of about 300 stores per year. This year will be 350 stores in actual. That's already been sort of signed up, and that's going to happen. So yes, very confident that over the next 3 to 5 years at least, we can continue opening, let's say on average, 300 stores per year.
Your acquisition of Brazilian value retailer, as I understand, that was completed during the period, although it didn't really contribute much in the period.
No, it's still very, well, relatively small. Remember, it only applies, or it only came into our sort of accounting from the 1st of February when the deal was sort of done or signed off.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very small contribution at the moment, but on an annual basis, on a revenue basis, probably 4% of our turnover at present. And we believe that in future, you know, as we grow that business, and there's a huge potential for it to grow, it will become a very bigger part of our business.
A last question, and a bit of your Paxi parcel, and I know we've talked about this before as well. How many parcels are you shipping now every, I don't know how you measure it, is it daily, weekly, monthly?
Well, we ship about 11,000 parcels per day.
Wow.
And that's substantially higher than we would have thought 4 or 5 years ago that we can achieve, you know, so we're quite happy with that. I still think that there's a lot of potential going forward, especially of third-party, if we do third-party distributions.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you basically then become the distribution agent for other large companies that's doing e-commerce. So I think there's a lot of potential going forward, despite the fact that it's already high.
Yeah, 11,000 a day. We'll leave it there. Glenn Lawrence, Pepco CEO, talking results to 6 months ending March. And there was a poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter, and those were solid Pepco results. Maybe not knock it out the park everywhere, but certainly solid. Pep Home, the growth there up 27.2%, and as Leon said in that interview, it's a bit of a cult following there. So that's our question today. Have you shopped at Pep Home? How do you like it? What do you think about it? Does it work for you? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Checking out with our Nampak CEO, Eric Smuts. Results for 6 months ending March, revenue up 24%, operating profit up 26%, headline earnings a share up 102%, and cash generated before working capital charges up 30% to $1.1 billion. Eric, appreciate the early morning time. A strong set of results. I imagine your biggest challenge for this period has been input costs. But I notice, for example, in your metals division, you actually managed to pick up margins to a degree. So you're managing to put some of those input costs onto your customers.
Absolutely. Thanks, Simon. Thanks for that intro. So, yeah, overall, I think we're quite pleased with all the metrics or the key metrics being up. But as you mentioned, input costs definitely the key feature of this set of results. enormous. We've seen practically some of the cost like aluminium and steel almost doubling, but at least it's now coming down a bit. And of course, passing those on to customers do not make for pleasant discussions. But overall, I think we've done quite well in that arena.
Okay, that was going to be my next point. I mean, are you seeing some relief there? You're saying it's coming down. Is there any sort of sense of visibility through the rest of the year, perhaps? Or is it just a volatile market and you're not really able to get any sense of where it'll be in 3, 6, maybe even 12 months?
Simon, it's quite difficult with the current conflict in Ukraine. You know, there's a lot of market uncertainty. But I think we it looks like aluminium at least has peaked roughly at the end of March, and that's been coming down now for quite some time. You know, that's a public traded commodity, so it's easy to track. We're still less so, but we've also got the sense that prices are starting to come down. So we hope that we can pass on some relief to customers soon, but only time will tell.
Yeah, I'm having a look at an aluminium chart here. I mean, it's well off where it was late last year, but a 10-year chart, I mean, aside from that spike last year, it is well above where it's been at any point in the last decade. Supply chains are the other challenge, and I know we're touching on all the rough spots right now. I mean, obviously, in terms of pandemic and COVID, borders are starting to open. I imagine you're seeing a return to normality in that sense, but we still have, and of course, the Ukraine war hasn't helped, some challenges in supply chains.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, supply chains first started being disrupted from COVID, but even here in South Africa, you know, the Durban port is a major port for us through which we do our commerce, both on the inbound and outbound supply side. So, you know, first we had the riots last year, and then these devastating floods to follow. So that certainly did cause some disruptions, and we had to really sort of make plans and alternative routes, et cetera. But luckily, we managed to sort of get past it. Unfortunately, we did stand without material for a couple of weeks. But at the moment, at least we have reasonable inventory.
If we look to the rest of the continent, and you've had some significant challenges, money trapped in Angola and Nigeria and the like, but it looks like it's resolving. I mean, it's still tough reading the results, but revenue's growing, margins are growing, moving very much in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know, Africa is a tough place to do business, and generally it's interestingly, those are our best operations. Mm-hmm. If you look at the greenfield operation we built in Angola, it is really world-class. If you go further north to Nigeria, if you walk into that factory and you don't know where you are, you will think you are in the first world. These are really good businesses. The problem is the environment where they operate in, and particularly at the moment in Nigeria, where you just cannot get foreign currency to pay for your raw materials and so on, unless you prepare to pay some exorbitant upcharges on the official rate. And that's just making it really difficult for any, I don't want to change this, sort of international companies to invest there, even local companies. It's really sad what the governance in some of these economies, it's really their biggest challenge.
But bringing back to local, you make the point in your forward-looking statements that actually you're expecting continued growth in beverage can market. You're also expecting some pickup, most notably in fish cans and driving div food. I mean, the metal space is still looking strong, notwithstanding a good period under review.
Absolutely. You know, in South Africa last year, we benefited from very large export contracts, and those were once-off, and everybody was very concerned, including ourselves, that that's going to lead to a drop-off in volume, you know, this year. Surprisingly, the local market has been extremely strong and more than made up for the volume losses of those once-off contracts. So that came as quite a surprise, and it is still strong. We do know some of that's been on the back of a glass shortage, and I know there are some new furnaces coming online soon that should sort of reduce that shortage. But at the moment, it is still looking very good.
We'll leave that there. And I just zoomed out my aluminium chart. Prices are back to where they were in 2008. But they still, if I eyeball this for a 30-year chart, they probably still double what the average has been over that long-term period. Eric Smuts, Nampak CEO, appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. On Friday, we were chatting with Wayne McCurry about Barlow World, Tiger Brands. They're doing those share buybacks that they both had proposed. And in their defense, at least they're doing it down at lower share prices, as we've often seen share buybacks happen at way elevated. I think it was JD who did one at 100 Rand, and within a year and a half, the share was sub 30. Question to you was, at current levels, is it a good idea? Over half of you said yes. A quarter, just under a quarter, was saying, better uses of cash, and the other sort of remaining quarter said, do you think the shares will fall further? Always the risk in that space. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website, the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow. We're going to get a review of the hospital stocks.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.